This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It does seem like there is the overreaction to game one in favor of the Knicks, thinking that now they have a legitimate chance to win this series. I felt like they could compete coming in, but I think game two, unfortunately, could be a dose of reality. This game, not game one, this one tonight, after what the Knicks did in game one, will really, to me, legitimize if the Knicks are for real in this series by how they perform tonight.
I think that that's fair. And listen, I don't know what we get tonight, but I do think the fundamental difference with how we perceive the Knicks today after what happened in game one, you think it's a bit of an overreaction. I think it's a bit of a reaction to what's been provided to the Knicks fan right now, where I think it's pretty obvious that that Pistons series toughened them up. Knicks look more connected, more gelling, more cohesive. They won on the road, which is, and they hadn't beaten the Celtics all year. And the Celtics look wounded right now. They look a little slow. They look a little hobbled. They've got much better depth than the Knicks, but that obviously changes if Hauser can't go, and we'll see what happens there. And I don't even think the Knicks played particularly amazing. Now, they did some amazing things. They were clutch. They were resilient. They battled back. There were some heroics from Brunson and some really key defensive stops there, but they didn't shoot free throws well. They didn't rebound well. They were minus 10, and they shot 42% overall, which is not good at all. So I think there's room for growth by the Knicks. Now, also, there's definitely room for growth by the Celtics.
Right.
And I get that part, and you volleyed that back to me to start the show. I hear you. I feel it. I get it. But my gripe with these Knicks this year is that they didn't look like they were one fist. And it looks like the fingers are starting to connect a little bit better, and I'm more optimistic.
Yeah, and like I said, I was more optimistic, obviously, going into the postseason. I just wanted to evaluate the postseason, and I would have loved to have picked the Knicks in this series. I needed to see more, specifically Game 5 against Detroit. Now, they played well in Game 6 and closed them out. But after Game 5, I couldn't believe that they were going to compete and beat the Celtics. And one of the questions, had I not been off those, you know, these 4 days going into the Celtics series with you, would have been, if the Knicks don't play their A game, can they beat the Celtics? We also could have the conversation, if they do play their A game, is it going to be good enough to beat the Celtics? And we saw in Game 1, they didn't play their A game, and they were good enough to beat the Celtics. However, if Boston plays their A game, which they played nothing close to that, I don't think there's anything the Knicks could do to be able to beat them. And I fully expect them, even if it's not their A game, you might get an A-minus sign or B-plus. And I still don't know if the Knicks are going to be... Is the Knicks A game good enough to beat the Boston B-plus game where Porzingis comes back? You know they're going to shoot the ball better just by circumstance. Like, you're not going to miss that many threes the way that they did in Game 1. If the Knicks can compete tonight, forget about even win, that to me then can change the complexion and feel of this series. I'm not going to make it feel different after just Game 1, even though the Knicks were able to win that game.
But I want to answer the question about, can the Knicks win with their A game if the Celtics don't have a C-minus game or D like they did the other night?
Right.
My answer is yes. Because now, if the Celtics have an A-plus game, well, then it's not going to be good enough.
Right.
But if there's a B-plus or even an A-minus, I do think the Knicks A game could be good enough to win again, because the concerns that I've had about the Knicks have largely centered on their bench. If you play an A game, that means you get contributions from the bench. Maybe Deuce McBride hits three more threes tonight. And then the other things that we've worried about or criticized and varying degrees of both, that means they delivered tonight. And that would include Karl Anthony Towns being a whole lot more visible and effective than he was in game one, where he picked up the early fouls and didn't do a whole lot. Here's my question for you. How many A-plus games or A game do you think Towns has to have for the Knicks to win? Because he's 0-for-1. The series.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a lot more.
Three?
Yeah, I mean,
three in the next
probably,
six?
Yeah.
Half of them?
I don't think the Knicks could play the way they played in game one and win another game in this series.
I agree, because the Celtics aren't going to shoot that miserably for another decade straight.
Assuming Porzingis is a factor, meaning like healthy in the series. Even if Hauser's banged up, don't really care, or Jaylen Brown is what he is, maybe a little bit compromised. Porzingis is the key. Him being back is going to change everything. So if the Knicks play the way that they played in game one, they are going to get blown out. So they're going to have to play much better, which would lead you directly to Karl Anthony Towns, because who has the biggest room to grow?
Who's got the room to grow?
Bridges shooting the ball for sure.
Okay. Was he 3-for-13?
Yeah, so Bridges could be more efficient.
Foul shooting, everybody.
Well, well
17
I mean,
for 31.
But is Mitchell Robinson going to be better? He's the majority of that. No. Is he going to be better? He can't. That's what I'm saying.
He's never going to. You can lock that guy in a room for a year. He's going to come out worse. He'll never get better.
To me, there are too many areas of weakness with the Knicks as a unit that unless Boston is either hurt or falls apart, I can't see the Knicks ultimately beating them in this series.
Let me throw out something wacky, something that I know is not going to happen, but it doesn't mean that it couldn't be a logical option. Let's say they deploy the Hack and Mitch again, which they will. Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? And the Knicks lose, right? Now he's making $50 million, and there's a lot of reasons not to do it, but can you convince me that, and this came up on the show yesterday, that starting Mitchell Robinson over Carl, not with him, over Karl Anthony Towns, right, could be beneficial? Because the whole Mitch thing is when you bring him into the, you know, late in the first or middle first or early second, whatever it is,
right,
or middle third,
with the foul.
You've already committed a bunch of fouls. So you start fouling him right away, they're in the bonus, and right away you get to reap the rewards of putting him on the stripe because he's awful. If he starts the game and they can't hack him because he's not going to the line, so they're just committing early fouls, which pile up, which will give the Knicks a sizable attempt advantage. And the other thing that you do is that you make sure the Cat avoids two cheap fouls early.
Yeah.
I know they'll never do it.
Not a bad thought in theory. I don't think that they're going to do it. Imagine starting Mitchell Robinson over Karl Anthony Towns, but it does make sense.
Why not start both together?
I like more of the avoiding the early foul trouble with Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that's got to stop. See, the problem is but this is part of how the Knicks just aren't, I don't want to say they aren't built properly, but they're not good enough. The Knicks are not a championship team. And it's not because of their lack of toughness or heart or too many minutes from Tibbs. It's because they just, the pieces aren't championship caliber. Their bench is too thin. They have too many guys with clear deficiencies.
I agree with you. But what if they get by the Celtics?
Yeah. Well, I mean, could they beat the Pacers? Sure.
They'd be favored to beat the Pacers. They have home court.
But what if? I mean, I don't think that they are getting past the Celtics because of all these things. And I still don't think that ultimately it would be good enough to get past whoever awaits them in the finals, even if they could beat the Pacers. Now you're talking about the other teams have flaws too, sure, but...
Well, if it's Denver, Knicks beat them twice this year.
I don't think the Boston Celtics have the similar flaws that the Knicks have. Like, not even close.
I don't either, but on paper coming in.
Yeah.
But now, again, those strengths are mitigated. Hauser plays... imagine if the Knicks had a guy who played 21 minutes a game, who shot 42% from three and averaged 10 points a night. That's Hauser.
Yeah, I get it.
And he's gone.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Think about how that would impact the Knicks.
They have all the other guys. White is a great player. See, Porzingis being out, to me, was the number one reason why the Knicks were able to win that game. Not because the Celtics shot what they did from downtown. Porzingis not being in that game changed everything for Boston. And the Knicks still barely beat him. I'm not trying to minimize what they did because it was a great comeback, great overtime period. But it took all of those missed threes and Porzingis being out for the Knicks to even have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see what tonight looks like with a closer to full health Celtics team with Porzingis returning. Now, if he's not a part of the series...
He's sick. He's not hurt.
That's what I'm saying.
He'll be,
right. So, but if he weren't a part of the series, then it would change. I want to see... I'm not going to overreact to a game in which the Knicks were down by 20 to begin with that also lost one of Boston's most significant pieces with Porzingis, I can't go nuts and overreact the other way. I do think tonight will be much more telling as to how this series will shape up moving forward. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, this is John. I have a very uninformed, casual response to the first game that's probably going to be very unpopular. And it comes on the heels of watching the special on Boston, which was back in the day, and a lot of passing, a lot of stuff. I tuned in after Knicks made their run. It was very impressive. Got in for the last 5 minutes. It seems to me that relying completely on Brunson puts the other guys at a disadvantage to getting in a flow, to making them, they're standing around. It seemed like it hurt the rest of the team. I'll take your comments off the air.
There's an element of stagnation with the Knicks that's undeniable. I don't think anybody's going to refute that. You watch the Knicks play more than, you know, a couple of sequences up and down the court. There's monopolization of the ball, little pound, little pound, little pound. Generally, you know, most teams will run somebody at Brunson, say off a made basket, inbound to Brunson. I don't mean like at the last second of a game. I mean in any sequence. And they'll just, they'll tepid pressure. All right, make them get the ball over half court, tire them out a little bit, burn 5-6 seconds, whatever. When you actually watch, by the time the Knicks, with purpose, with actual purpose and a clear, decisive like vision of how they want to run the offense, you're down to about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, that is the norm.
You know, do you think the Knicks are going to be as efficient from downtown as well? Like, we talk about everybody's focusing on how many threes the Celtics missed.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the Knicks making
those? What was
the
numbers
threes?
Again? I forgot exactly.
The Knicks as a team, 17 of 37. But really, I mean, Deuce, you mentioned him before.
Yeah.
Deuce was 3 for 6. And you had Jalen Brunson, 5 of 9, and Anunoby, 6 of 11. That is highly efficient shooting from downtown.
Yeah, that's really good.
That I don't know if it's going to continue. Now,
maybe, well, Towns should bang it a few.
Bingo.
Bridges should bang it a few.
Well,
there you go.
Okay, well, there you go. But, I mean, that's still got to happen. And even so, will that be enough with Boston shooting significantly better? I mean, the Knicks shot almost 50%, 45.9%.
That's great.
From downtown, where Boston was 25%. Those numbers are going to change.
I agree.
Which will change the entire look of the game and potentially the feel of the series, assuming that Porzingis is healthy to come back. BT and Sal on the Fan. Lou is in Astoria. What's up, Lou? What's up, Lou?
Louie.
All right, I guess Lou is not with us. That's why. Oh,
Lou was fired up yesterday, too. I wanted to hear back
Lou's
from him.
Always
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fired up. Rick is in Tampa. What's up, Rick?
Yay, guys. Long time no talk, man. Hey, Sal, sorry for your loss, bro.
Thank you.
You come back now, you're throwing a lot of cold water on the conversation that was going on while you were gone. But I got a question for you, BT, kind of towards you. With the injuries that Boston's having, and listen, I was surprised, a great win for the Knicks, but if the injuries, things like that happen, and somehow Indiana, which is a super surprise, beat Cleveland and the Knicks get to play Indiana again, now we're healthy. It was last year, we weren't.
Yeah.
what would be your gut if they were to lose that game against lose a series against Indiana? Would be hard to swallow?
No, I would be happy as hell.
What kind of question is that?
Rick, I think what you're trying to ask me, like, would that change my bottom line assessment of Tom Thibodeau? Like, maybe some of the things I've been fairly critical of this year, I don't know I'll play the game for 10 seconds. If the Knicks advance and if the Pacers advance and the Knicks have home court and the Knicks somehow don't beat the Pacers like Rick just proposed to me, I'm not firing Tom Thibodeau. I would change my opinion. Now, I wouldn't say that he's now suddenly great, but out of respect and out of accomplishment, I could not justify firing him at that point, unless they got like swept by the Pacers or something crazy.
Yeah, but if you didn't think he was good enough before, then why would that change in your mind?
I know that's a very simple question, but it's a good one, and my answer is probably going to sound idiotic, but I just think it's disrespectful. I'd like to provide more depth than that, but for a guy who's done a lot of good here myself, and I've been critical of Tom, as you guys know, if I own the team, and that's how I'm kind of answering it, I couldn't look myself in the mirror and justify firing him after they got to a game 7 last year where they depleted roster in the conference finals and should have won if they were healthy and would have. And then this year beat the Celtics. Again, this is what this whole hypothetical is based on, and lose in the Eastern Conference finals. I wouldn't think he's great still, but I couldn't fire him.
I would argue losing to the Pacers in the Eastern Conference final is more worthy of being fired than losing to the Celtics. In the second round.
I could see why you would say that. Yeah, I could actually see why you would say that.
And just to rehash, like, Rick,
but would you fire him?
I would not, because I would have kept him anyway, though.
Okay, okay.
I want to see what they do next year. Now, we got to see how this plays out, but I want to give him one more year with this group coming back, the majority of this core coming back, and see how they look next year. And then if things start out slow or doesn't look good, then maybe you make the move in season. That's a conversation you and I have had many times. But just to counter Rick, because you're saying, oh, you come back and you throw cold water, I understand that's going to be the perception. That's not the reality. What I'm doing is trying to bring it back to reality. I was positive on the Knicks here. I was giving them a chance against Boston. The reality is Boston is significantly better than the Knicks on paper and in reality if they are healthy. If they're not healthy, different story. Porzingis was out. They still were up by 20 points. It took a lot for the Knicks to be able to win that game. They did. I'm not taking anything away from them. What I'm saying is it's a long series. You don't win the series with winning one game. And it's like the Knicks win one game against the Celtics and they've won the championship. That's the reaction to a series that going in, nobody thought they were going to win. And they win one game. It's like, see, we told you. Bing, bong, bing, bong. The Knicks are back. The reality is it's one game. They've got a long way to go. You've got to beat the Celtics 3 more times. The Knicks have been bad at home. They were bad against the Pistons at home. Porzingis is coming back tonight. You know the Celtics are going to be much better than they were in game 1. This might be the toughest challenge still, even with the compromised Brown, even with no Hauser. This still might be the toughest challenge that the Knicks will face. This is a championship team. This is not, oh, you won one game on the road and the Celtics are dead and the Knicks are moving on to face the Pacers here. You want to feel hopeful? Understood. Nobody's trying to take that away. I hope too. But my belief at my core, I don't believe it yet in these two teams. Tonight could change that.
I don't either, but I was nowhere near believing it. Like, I'm just, think of an iceberg and suddenly it's warm and it starts to thaw out a little bit. Like, that's what's happening to me. I haven't put this thing forward where I don't think the Knicks will win the series. I'm hopeful. I'm much more hopeful. Well, I've always been hopeful. The reality to me is rooted a little bit more in possibility because of the fact that they won game 1, but also more than that, all the things that we talked about with the injuries to the Celtics, if you can recall, which to me opens the door a little bit more for the Knicks here to win, what percentage would you have given the Knicks to win the series before game 1, and what is it now?
To me, it probably hasn't changed that much because I never fully really believed they were going to win the series, but I thought that they would be more competitive than most.
But you probably didn't think they were going to win game 1, and did.
No, I didn't. Right, but
so that doesn't change it at all?
Why would that change it if I thought that they were going to
be more... Because you only need 3 more wins now, and you took away home court advantage.
Yeah, but like in my mind, it doesn't... What's the difference if they won game 1 or game 2?
Maybe there is no difference. Maybe not. I don't know. So if it was like 10% going in,
I can only tell you my gut feel. I don't feel, other than the result of, winning game 1 would mathematically give you a better chance to win the series because you're already up one game to none.
Mm.
You're better off than losing the first game, but I don't feel any different than I did about the Knicks now than I did coming into the series.
All right, I got you. I just wanted to have you run through that.
Yeah.
You know, in a weird way, now part of the reason why it was so close is because the Celtics were atrocious shooting. We know that. But I think there's more value winning the kind of game the Knicks won the other night than winning 113-84. It's off the rails from the get-go. Celtics don't have it. They're a little rusty. They're a little out of whack from the extra rest that they had from the previous series because they took care of business earlier. I think the one of the more intriguing things to me is that not only did they win, they won ugly, but they also won after they thought they had it when they missed the shot by when Brunson missed the shot. Then to go to overtime, that was another chance to fold. That was another chance for most of our reality to kick in. All right, let's go. They've been a mess so far. Better team's going to win. Didn't happen.
If they lost that game, everybody's saying, they're going to get swept. They're going to lose in five.
Probably. Right. Absolutely.
So that, to me, they had to win that game to make it a series. But I thought it was going to be a series anyway. So, okay, now they just solidified it or maybe changed other people's mind by making it a series. It doesn't change to me what I think the result of the series, unfortunately, is ultimately going to be. I know last night everybody's going to get excited about the Yankees. This is what the Yankees do. They're a bully offense. They score 15 runs one game. They score none the next. They score 10 runs in one inning. They score none the next. It is an inconsistent offense. I just don't think the Yankees are a particularly good team. Doesn't mean they can't win the American League with that being weak, but I'm not going to go nuts about the 10-run inning from the Yanks last night.
No, they're very flawed team here. Now, the one thing that is nice, they did it against a very good bullpen. Like, that Padres bullpen is really good. So you walk away feeling good. I mean, geez, anytime you put up, 12 runs and you have 10 hits and you bat around, I mean, you got to enjoy it, otherwise you're miserable. But you're not wrong. I mean, listen, here's what bothers me about the Yankees. And maybe for some it's an odd day to talk about this because they did win and it was a fun win, all right? But I look at, and I don't talk about payroll too much because the Yankees spend money, Mets spend money, like we're used to our team spending, and the Met fans are getting used to it now, and Yankee fans have always been used to the Yankees spending money, right? But you look at it like Mets are number one, Dodgers number two, and they're separated by about $2 million, and the Yankees are almost $300 million, about $20 million less than the Mets and the Dodgers. So I say to myself, like, how can the Yankees, and this is the Cashman thing, that's where I'm going, how can you spend $300 million and roll out in succession, you know, Trent Grisham, whether or not these guys are playing good or not, Trent Grisham's making peanuts, Ben Rice is making peanuts, you know, Reyes who comes in was making peanuts, Peraza played last night making peanuts, Dominguez making peanuts, Volpe making peanuts, Austin Wells making peanuts, Cabrera making peanuts, Vivas making peanuts. I mean, now, I know the answer. Part of it's going to Garrett Cole. All right, Max Fried, Stanton. But, like, that's why I defend Aaron Boone. He's not perfect. I know that. But look at this roster that he's given every year.
This year, it might be the worst. I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about as far as the pieces fit the puzzle. Where, the talk now is John Carl Stanton's getting close.
No, you won't hear me talk about that. I honestly don't care.
No, but great, right? He's a big bad, and everybody's... How are you, even if we just fast forward to October, let's have a hypothetical conversation for a second.
Yeah.
What good is Stanton coming back if you can't have him in the lineup at the same time as the Yankees' best hitters? And they can't do that as currently constructed. Yeah. How would you do it? Ben Rice cannot play third base, so he plays first. Or he DHs, or he catches. Okay.
And they don't put him behind the dish. I mean, we heard he was a catcher. Can you catch him?
But if you did, now you're taking Austin Wells out, who was also one of your better bats. I know he's been
fourth last year for a lot of the season.
Okay, so you don't want to do that.
No.
You can't take Goldschmidt out of the lineup.
No, he's been great.
Okay. And so are you having Rice or Stan then DH? And really, it should be both. You want both those bats in the lineup, but Stan can't play the outfield. Rice can't play anywhere else. They got those positions occupied.
I know.
And
I
their
know.
Outfield is a log jam to begin with Grisham, who's one of your better bats.
Yeah.
You got Bellinger and Judge. Then how do you get Dominguez in there?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I said last week I would consider sending Dominguez down to the minors and just get him seasoned, more ready for the pros. I understand why maybe they're not going to or why you wouldn't.
For me, I definitely. We talked about it. There's no way I would.
Their team, but he's not a polished outfielder. He's not a polished offensive player. Like, there's
looked pretty good last night. I mean, he's coming around. I think he's on track. Not to be Mickey Mantle, to be a good player.
He runs like the wind.
Well, yeah, he's starting to hit as a right-handed hitter. Yeah.
Well, what's his average?
Well, I think it's about 245, but he's hitting 315 as a lefty. You got to understand, but there's splits here. Is he a part-time, is he a platoon guy? I saw him miss a ball over the weekend in left field yet again.
With
the little ground ball that he picked up.
A fly ball in left field. I forget which game because I went back and watched it.
Was that the rainy game? Whatever it was. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's perfect.
Sunday's game, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, against the wall where he just misplayed.
He's the least of my concerns right now. One of the things that is problematic with this team, I thought they were going to be very athletic this year. That's one of the things that was appealing to me. And I kept saying to you, and it's me and Sal, and I kept telling you to call those listeners, hey, you know, Jazz is going to steal 40, 50 bases this year. Volpe's going to steal, you know, 35, 40 bases this year. And, you know, you're going to have Dominguez playing, and he might steal, you know, 18, 20, 22, 25. And obviously, Belly, he's had some years where he's going to steal 12, 15, 20 on the conservative side, 12 or 15. So I just thought the Yankees would be much more explosive in terms of just pure raw speed, which could put that's why last night when Dominguez hit that double to lead off the inning where they went bonkers and batted around, he didn't hit that on the barrel. It was a gap. I know you were busy with what you had going on, but I mean, out of the box, he was just, you know, the pedal to the floor. No hesitation, put stress on the defense, bang. Didn't really have any business being a double, but he made it a double. Now I think that that's going to play more. The more he plays, the more you'll see that from him. But, dude, the more I think about it, if, like, Bellinger doesn't have an above-average season, this Yankees offense is going to stink a lot. It just is.
Okay, and then what would you do game one? Now, this is really fast-forwarding here. Well, I mean, that's what it's going to be about. It's going to be about with the Yankees. Now, we'll see what happens with the Red Sox in the division or who's going to be a threat in the American League. But the bigger point is not about can this team win the World Series or not. It's how they're constructed, and it's just poor to me. Who are you taking out of the lineup in game one in the outfield? Let's start there, because they have multiple issues. They have two DHs and they have a logjam of the outfield.
I think what they would do, I already had the answer. Judge and right, I think that they would do probably Belly in center and Grisham in left field at this point.
And no Dominguez.
Probably not.
Okay, I wouldn't disagree with you. You can't take Grisham out of the lineup.
Yeah, no, he's earned the right to go out there every day
Which brings me back to why I would give him more seasoning, Dominguez, in the minor leagues. Anyway, okay, so that's how you would do that. So now you have Dominguez, one of the star prize prospects on the bench. And then what are you doing at DH? Rice? Because Goldie's going to be in the lineup at first base.
Yeah, he's a good fielder. If it's a righty, I'm going Ben Rice. If it's a lefty, I'm going John Carlos Stanton. It's not perfect, but there's the answer.
Well, okay, but then you have one of your best October hitters and John Carlos Stanton, a beast. He's on the bench. So Stanton and Dominguez, two guys who figured to be impact players, they've got to be on the bench because Grisham has been so good and because Rice has been so good. It's not a knock, but like, They just don't fit. The pieces don't fit. If they thought Rice was going to be this good, then why even sign Paul Goldschmidt? Why not go sign a third baseman? Because you don't have a third baseman. You don't have one.
They wanted some more righty sticks. I know that that's the short answer. That's why Goldie is a righty. And in 1 year, $12.5 million. They read that market very well. Listen, Sal, I agree.
I can't knock the Goldie signing because he's been good. But
no, he's been great. But this is a very disjointed, imperfect roster. I'm not fighting you on this. I don't like the roster.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at them. And by the way, I didn't even bring up this part of it, but you and I have had discussions about this. This should infuriate Yankee fans. They let go of Clay Holmes. Now, Yankee fans didn't love Clay Holmes last year, even though he was an all-star closer. Mm-hmm. The Mets have turned Clay Holmes into Clay Holmes gives you five good innings. Devin Williams can't give you one good inning. That's on the Yankees. Brian Cashman turned Clay Holmes. He didn't turn him into an all-star reliever, but he was an all-star reliever with the Yankees. Let him go. Turned him into a guy that was supposed to be the best closer in the game with an ERA of 1. Now has an ERA of 1.00. And got rid of a guy who the Mets turned into a 5-inning pitcher.
I told you he was going to be good for you, though.
Could the Yankees have figured that out?
I wish they would have. Would have been nice. I wish they didn't trade Michael King at this point. Something else we can hit on.
But that's different. I get it. Letting Clay Holmes go and somebody else, in this case the Mets, turning Holmes into a 5-inning effective pitcher.
Yep.
And the Yankees couldn't even turn him into a 1-inning pitcher effectively. That would infuriate me if I'm a Yankee fan.
You know what's amazing? Oddly, it doesn't. It really doesn't. Because here's my justification. Now, You know, Devin Williams better get his act together, or he's getting the Eddie Whitson treatment pretty soon.
I still think he'll be okay. But
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. I was doing some dives, you know, whatever, because I just wanted to see, like, what's going on with him, man. I know he's had slow starts before. Everybody knows that. But his fastball is down to 93.6 miles an hour, and he's never been a 100-mile-per-hour guy anyway.
Right.
But it's down a little more than a mile from last year. And he's throwing the fastball less because it's a little tick off. And he's throwing his changeup a lot more. And his best pitch is, I think he's at 54% usage rate for the changeup. Last year was about 48-49. That's a pretty big change right there. And the changeup, the more you see it, especially his nasty changeup, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
The changeup.
The airbender.
Thank you. The airbender. The more you see it, the less, you know, daunting it is. So I think it's more of a selection thing, but I don't think he's going to reclaim anything. That I think he might be busted, but I'm still okay with the move, because I can't react to the results. You can, but I can't react to that first. To me, my opinion was let's say running back, a bullpen of Weaver and Clay Holmes from a Yankee perspective, because they weren't going to make him a starter, versus...
Which also, by the way, could be...
Yeah, that's true, but that's a different conversation. Yeah, yeah. I hear you on that, yep. Versus a Weaver who showed closer chops, and Devin Williams, the guy that I thought that the Yanks were getting, I was totally on board with that.
But just because you were on board with doesn't mean that it was a good move.
Like, I understand that. True. Yeah. But, I mean, when you get a chance to get the best closer in the game, which he's been statistically for a while, and you got a guy in Luke Weaver who was either eighth or ninth inning lights out, he showed it all postseason, I was ready. I was actually excited for that to be a big piece of the Yankees' identity, but it's just not. He looks atrocious.
Ann is on Staten Island. What's up, Ann?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey.
Good.
I don't want you guys to hang up on me really fast. I just wanted to talk about the Yankees. All right. Every year, it's the same stuff. Now, I'm not a fan of Steinbrenner. I'm not a fan of Cashman. And I'm not a fan of Boone. And it actually goes in that exact order. Hal doesn't want to spend the money on good players. Cashman doesn't know how to get the good players. And then Boone, he doesn't know how to use the good players he has.
Yeah, but Ann, hold on. We'll let you finish. But... We can have some issues with Hal. He's not his dad, blah, blah, blah. He just gave Max Fried $170 million. He paid Garrett Cole. He gave $165 million to Carlos Rodon. He gave Stanton, foolishly, a boatload of money.
He tried to sign Soto.
He paid Aaron Judge. Come on, you got to be fair.
No, I am being fair.
You're not, though.
I really am.
I don't think you are.
You know, be honest with me. Do you really think Steinbrenner wanted to give Soto that money? He would have kept Soto if he would have given him the suite.
It doesn't matter. He offered it to him. And when you offer somebody something that great, there is a risk that they take it. So whether he was fully in or partially in, he offered the money with the chance that Soto would take it, and he'd have to cut the check there, Ann.
All right, you're right. I'm wrong.
Come on, can you bite back, dude?
Here's your better argument. Is Steinbrenner operating the way Steve Cohen is? And to me, the answer would be no. That would be my issue.
Hey, don't lose another series today.
I'm the biggest Yankee fan you can have.
Okay.
I would love to have Steve Cohen as the owner of the New York Yankees.
He's never won anything yet. Come on. Show Hal a little respect.
No, I can't. I can't, all right? I go to the game Sunday,
yep.
Okay? And instead of having Austin Wells pinch in for Scarlett,
I know.
You keep him up there?
Yeah.
Boone doesn't know the pieces he's got. The Yankees are too analytic. They're way too analytic, and it's affecting them. It really is.
I don't think it's about – and Ann, thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. We know we waited on hold a while. We appreciate that. I don't think it's about analytics.
Me neither.
They don't have a third baseman. They have two DHs when Stanton comes back.
Don't have a second baseman right now. Don't have a closer right now.
Depth was an issue before the season. We talked about that. We knew that. So that's a major issue. And you know, going into a long baseball season, you better be prepared for things to go wrong. And that things have gone wrong with the Yankees, with the Jazz injury specifically. Their infield is horrible.
I know.
They don't even have one.
Well, Goldie, but he's 38. He's going to be retiring.
Meaning they don't have an entire
unit. No, they don't. I said this yesterday. Yeah. That's really what aggravates me here. How do you have, because it's just an incorrect statement, Hal doesn't spend. Right. Well, maybe he doesn't spend like a drunken sailor or the game's changed, whatever. You know, he's got a board of directors and trustees to answer to. We've flushed through this, whatever. I'm not even saying I love him, but I certainly have got a... I can't have a complete misrepresentation of Hal, but the man does spend $300 million a year on a payroll. That's where they're at now, just about. And you don't even have an infield. How is that possible?
Right. And that's why it goes back to it's not, the team has
but
not
been
put together.
That's where I go back to Cashman.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know? I agree with you. I've never been on Boone. To me, it was always about the general manager.
Yeah.
You want to get on the owner for maybe not going over the top, but I mean, he goes as close as you possibly can, maybe without going over the top.
I'm with you.
Even with the Soto thing. I thought initially the Yankees were going to lose Soto because Steve Cohen would outspend everybody by
a mile, right?
And that's not what happened.
It didn't happen. Let me ask you this, Sal. So the over-under was, and we did this for our BT and Sal projections, right? Over-unders. I think the over-under for the Yankee win total, 90.5. Was that what it was? I think it was
90. Yeah,
you ever written in the book?
Let me
89?
Yeah, I could get it. Either way.
If I said to you right now, you've seen the state of the American League East, which is not that we thought it would be great, but it's certainly not as good as we thought. The Central seems to be carrying the mail. A lot of those teams have the Tigers are killing it. Royals have a nice record. It's better than we thought. Either way, if I said right now, jot down on a piece of paper the amount of wins you think the Yankees will have this year, your number would be?
I'd probably go still 89, 90-ish. I'm going to go low 90s. By the way, the number we had it, 88.5.
That's crazy, dude.
And I
but
went
is
over
it though, now
for the
that you
record.
See play?
I went Yankees over 88.5, but that's such a low number. And now, no.
I went over. I went under Mets and I went over Yankees.
We gotta check that.
Maybe I missed that. I know I had the Yankees slightly over, but I kept saying, I don't know if they're going to win this division.
Yeah.
Like I looked at these flaws. World Series team. Dude, got to make sure they're a playoff team.
Yeah, that's the thing. I watched this. And I don't know how they win. They continue to win. I didn't think they were any good last year. They get to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could say, well, the Royals weren't good or, well, the Cleveland Guardians aren't any. Yeah, okay, but at some point, you got to be like, they're in the World Series. It is what it is. So the American League may not be great. I think it's going to be better competition than it was a year ago.
Central's already better. That's what I was saying. That's a young division with some seasoning now.
Within their own division with Boston, as I know we've been talking about as well. I just watched the Yankees play. I don't think that they're a very good baseball team.
I don't think they're very balanced. I think they've got Babe Ruth 2.0. They've got a guy who's going today, hopefully it keeps up, who's going to win the Cy Young in Max Fried. And, you know, they got a couple of guys who never will be. You know, it's just a very odd compilation of talent for such a massive payroll.
I don't understand. It's like, you know, I'm kind of new in Jersey, where I moved in about a year ago.
You're talking about the real ID thing?
No.
Okay.
No, do I have that?
I don't have it yet. I got to get it, and I'm
how
flying
do
pretty
I,
soon. I got to talk.
How would you even know? I thought I had it because I had my license kind of updated.
It's not about, no, it's totally different from, even if your license, you know how the license expires, obviously. It has nothing to do with that. It's a new form of ID.
Well, how would I know if it's real ID? And if it was, why would I not? I would have.
You don't have it. If you don't know that you have it, you don't have it. Because you have to actually go. It's a completely separate process.
Right, but I'm saying, I think when I went to get it again to have it updated to Jersey, they asked about the real ID. And I said, yeah, like I might as well just do it now because I don't want to come back. But I don't remember, honestly. I was just, whatever, don't care. Real ID, and just give me something so I can get the hell out of here and keep it moving. But no, what I was going to talk about is, for some reason, pizza places either A, don't open up late, or B, are closed on Mondays. What is going on in New Jersey? Dude, multiple times I've come home on like a Friday night, and I'm like, oh, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever, try to order pizza. Sorry, we close at 9, or we're closing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell?
No.
And then on Monday, we were coming back from, you know, the burial was a disaster, and, you know, my wife didn't want to eat meat. I guess that's a way to like honor the dead. You're not supposed to eat meat. I don't know, whatever. Like,
I didn't know that.
Me,
but okay,
yeah,
I got
I'm
you.
Like, order a burger. They'll be fine. But whatever. So we were looking for pizza. And then there's this one spot that we like. Okay, yeah, we'll get the Jacob Palmiro. Call. Nobody picking up. Close. All right, let's go to another pizza place. Call.
Really?
Close. Monday! This is Monday at like 7 o'clock because we're driving back in traffic from Long Island. So luckily, Frank at Rails had to. They have some pizza there.
Frankie stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, all right, let's go to Rails. I get the burger, and then, my wife.
Oh, you actually sat down at Rails?
No. We had a takeout, which,
got
by the
it.
Way, they, you know, usually don't take out pizza, but since Frank hooked it up, I had to drop his name.
Yeah, I got to go see Frank. It's been a while.
Yeah, he wasn't, but I had to drop his name so I could get the pizza taken. But my point is, what is up with the pizza places
on
in
Mondays,
Jersey,
huh?
Dude? Not open on a Monday? What are we doing here? And you close at 9 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday or 10 o'clock? Come on.
I haven't noticed that they close early because we're never ordering food that late.
Okay.
You know, like back in the day, you're going out, you want to get a slice, absorb the alcohol. You know, that's totally different. I mean, back in the day. I do notice, now I don't know if it's just one place, but there's a place where I usually take Colt to get his hair cut, and I always like, he likes to hammer back, he loves their pizza. I don't particularly like it, but he loves it. And we'll get the haircut, and we'll get a slice, and we'll usually do that on Monday, because Monday's like our least busy right. day. And it took me like a month to remember, really almost like a year. Oh, yeah, that's right, this place is not open on Mondays.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other places, to my knowledge, are.
Yeah. Come on, get it together, know. Jersey. Open late and open on Monday. I mean, it's pizza.
Hey, if that's your worst complaint about Jersey, you're doing okay. Oh, Jersey's not so bad, is it?
No, it's not.
Taxes aside.
No. I like, even that's better than Long Island in some places. Now, Dove did confirm that I do believe I have a real ID. Now, what do you got to do? You got to go get it done because you can't travel without it, right?
Yeah.
Is that the thing, you can't fly without the real ID?
We flew for, yes, after May 7th. We flew for Easter.
Today. So you can't fly anywhere anymore?
No, I'm not. And we're going on vacation. I got a couple things coming up, but not in the immediate.
You're going to get on that then.
Yeah, well, I keep getting, she's trying to help me, Jen. She's like,
she has real ID?
I think she got one. She's always ahead of the stuff. I'm just like, I am a, just like school.
There are a few things
I'll study
do.
The night before. Yeah. She's like, whatever, I'll figure it out.
I get it. There are a few things less I want to do in life than go to motor vehicle for a.
I know.
You know, for a day. That's just such a, usually a nightmare, which is why whenever I was there, I said, get this thing done.
Yeah.
Now I'm hoping my wife has it because she's the opposite of your wife. She'd probably, I don't know if she even knew. She'd just get the ID and then.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known if it wasn't for, well, I'm sure I would have seen it somewhere at the airport or somewhere, but no, I didn't know about it. It's just a pain in the ass. Dude. I don't really know what it entails. We'll figure it out. When are we going away? I think the first one, we're going on two this year. July.
So you can't even use a passport anymore? It's got to be real ID?
You know, it's funny you say that. That came up with somebody the other day, and we obviously have passports, and they're still current. I don't know. I don't know if that works. I was told that it does, but I don't know if it was through a great source.
Yeah.
Who knows, dude?
Not a trusted
pain in
source.
The ass. If I had enough money, I'd charter everything. Deal with this nonsense.
Hook up with
your
guy with the sausage, right? You get to hook up with that.
I was with him this past weekend. Yeah. Oh, Premio.
Yeah,
Big Jets guy. But that's the charter that we came back from Green Bay. We were actually talking about that over the weekend at a Derby party.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan 8. Did you have the Derby winner?
No, okay. I did. I was going journalism.
I'm trying to stick
to the roots of education a little bit here. And then I had five boxes and I forgot who won.
BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. Whatever to call. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, reset, get all your calls up. We're working the Mets at some point next hour as well. I mean, it's almost 40 games now. Is now okay to criticize Juan Soto, or because he's starting to hit a little bit? Should we lay off? And he's not the biggest issue. Mets have been falling apart here. So we could work them into the conversation as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.